Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And welcome to the Wrestle Talk podcast. I'm Ollie Davis, complete with a bow tie. Of course, audio listeners can't see that, but hopefully they can hear the rustling and the irritation it's causing my neck. And I'm joined by my AEW podcast co-host, Tempest.
Boom. Yes, and I get to be the one to rub in your face that you have to be Pete's manservant today. LIW for life. That's my boy.
Yeah. Yeah. So just before this started, we were both like, oh no, the gimmicks. And I had to put on a bow tie. You had to put on a mask and crown.
I've got What's you beat weird? 2-1.
What I don't get is, you know, because I saw you without your mask on before we started recording this, because you had to put on that mask. I didn't know you just wear another mask underneath it, because I still haven't seen your face.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm like Kakashi from Naruto. You take off the mask and it's another mask. Or like Rey Mysterio from his excellent match against Chris Jericho at the Bash 2009. Back check. I love
Hasn't
that match.
Hasn't he
done
a that lot. A few times?
Probably. That's the one that stands out the most to me, because I've watched that match a lot. A lot. That match is excellent.
So you said, you before we hit the record, you are in a good mood today.
Yes.
Like you just got it in there. Oh, I'm in a good mood.
Yeah, I am in a very genuine good mood today. I've had a very lovely morning. It's not like a particularly long story, but I typically throughout the pandemic have gone on a lot of just walks, you know, just clear your mind. There's nothing much to do during the pandemic, so a walk here and there was nice. But I've kind of grown tired of my neighborhood. I've kind of walked out of the various streets that surround my home. So today I decided to switch it up a little bit, and I was up early and I took an Uber down to the lakefront in Toronto and just walked along the path of Lake Ontario, and it was bloody lovely. That was magical. What really made my day though is I realized that my phone had not charged. And I realized this while I was on the path. And granted, I gave myself a lot of time for this walk, so I was not in a great time crunch. You know, I beat you here, Ollie, so I wasn't.
Hey.
I wasn't going to be late, but I realized that my phone was potentially going to lose power before I could get an Uber back. So I was walking along this path, and at this point, it's probably about 8:30 or so my time, and we start recording around 9:45. And I walked up to a very fine gentleman and asked if he had a phone charger in his van. And
oh my word,
he it was like a work van. They were like because I told him I would shout out the company because he was so kind and helpful. He let me charge my phone. I only needed it for like 5 minutes to get up to like 10% or whatever to be able to get back home in time for this podcast. So shout out to Austin working at Bertro Lawn Sprinkler Company. He is a fine man, and if you, it's at the end of their season now, so I don't know that we're going to generate a lot of revenue for the, for these fine folk. But come next spring, if you need a lawn sprinkler, they are the people to go to in Toronto. Fine people.
And hey, so I'll, did you get their invoice details? Because I, because that was a sponsorship, Tempest. I'm now going to have to invoice them for at least 500 grand, which is the going rate for a little podcast insert like that, I believe.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Perhaps
500 grand Canadian, which oh, to so be honest, nothing. Is 30 quid. Yeah, it's 30 quid over here.
Absolutely nothing. But yeah, just an absolute act of random kindness from a stranger that did not need to help me, but just made my day. And it seems insignificant. Like he let me charge my phone for 5 minutes, but absolutely made my day. So
were you like, I'm just going to continue on my lovely walk. I got an Uber here, or did you just hover by the car?
I was kind of like walking along the path, and the path would like stop, go, you'd walk through like just a residential street and then cut back over to the park, the path and all that. So I was kind of like, I would walk up to people who were just like walking their dogs. I was like, do you have a portable phone charger by any chance?
You're that guy.
Everyone was super nice. They're all like, no, I don't. Sorry. I was like, it's fine. Thank you though. Have a nice day. And finally, like, I just saw these guys like out front of somebody's home, clearly doing their lawn sprinkler job. And I was like, hey man, you don't know me. You don't have any reason to know me. Would you please do me this solid favor? And he was like, yeah, right. I only talked to like maybe five people before I got to him. So it wasn't like a ton. I found my phone charger savior fairly early on my expedition here, but it was at the end of my walk, so that was good.
See, my fear of having to create conversation with someone, just like because I would feel bad about leaving them, I would just I'd just start walking home. Can't get the Uber. Phone's gonna die. It's collateral damage. Rather than say, hey, so how is the old sprinkler biz going? Good spread on the sprinklers. What's the latest model?
Yeah, thankfully, like, the dude was cool and everything, and I just kind of, like, talked to him about my walk, honestly. You know? I
was just not like, wrestling? Just
no.
Be like, hey, did you watch the game last night? And he'll probably be like, oh, yeah, the hockey or the American football stuff or whatever it is you do over there. And you'll baseball. Go, nah-uh. The wrestling. The professional wrestling. And he'll be like, oh, God. That's no, exactly I've got a complete weirdo charge up their phone in my van.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I can't imagine showing him what I do because I was like, oh, I'll give you like a shout out or something at my work, you know, just like as a thank you and all that. But I didn't want to be like, oh, yeah, here's me wearing a mask and a dumb plastic crown.
Were you wearing the mask at the time?
It never comes off.
Yeah, good. Well, speaking of AEW. Let's get into the show. We've got a new TNT champion in the Spanish God, Sammy Guevara. So much God chat this week. God got involved in the finish to Extreme Rules and chose Roman Reigns. God's favorite champion no more, Miro. I think him and God have fallen out. But we've got another God, a false idol maybe, in Sammy Guevara as the TNT champion. I'm Ollie Davis. I'm joined by that bitch, Tempest.
What's up, manservant? You're not my manservant, but you're my friend's manservant, so that's close enough.
Yeah, well, yep, doing fantastic. Pete's amazing. He's the best champion ever. But
sure is.
Let's talk about this excellent episode of AEW Dynamite. Is there any other these days?
I don't think so. You know, like, I don't want to spoil what grade I'm going to give this or anything, but I know 2 weeks ago when I reviewed the show with Luke, I said that it was like 4 out of 5 just because it wasn't like the most memorable show, but it was still excellent.
Yes.
I sort of felt like the same way on this show until we got to the main event. And then we saw it and I was like, this is another excellent, perfect episode. I had no faults with this show.
I think I've come to prefer the episodes of Dynamite that I'm not super hyped about. Because, of course, last week, Grand Slam, so much expectations. And yeah, they did exceed my expectations, but still, it's very, very lofty. Whereas these shows, I just come in and like, it's a little show. And you get a title change, like Leo Rush is back again, all the lovely Brody Lee tributes because it's in Rochester, New York, the guy's hometown. Just so lovely.
You're forgetting the biggest highlight of the show. Arn Anderson talking about blowing a guy's head off.
Arn Anderson. So did he say that he had killed a guy or that he would kill a guy?
I think he would kill a guy. It's like if Cody was getting carjacked, he would say, I'm sorry, here, take my car. And if Arn was getting carjacked,
We all know the Lex Luger story. And if Arn is just so cavalierly saying, yeah, I'd shoot a guy in the face if he looked at me wrong, I think we can assume Arn Anderson has killed some people. CM Punk on commentary had a good line after Arn said that. He was like, I don't think Arn needs a gun to kill that guy. Specifically a Glock.
Yeah, that made it so much better.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah. Uncomfortable detail.
Yeah, Arn Anderson saying Glock on AEW Dynamite just boosted the whole segment up.
Anyway, we're here to talk about the main event first, which was the TNT Championship match between Sammy Guevara and Miro. Just with AEW, there was so much right with this match. My only criticism is really, I guess, kind of the build, because this didn't feel like, leading up to it, it didn't feel like the story to end Miro's reign. But when the result happened after Sammy won in what I thought was an excellent match, afterwards I'm kind of like, well, yeah, I wanted Miro's reign to last longer. I wanted him to maybe lose it in a more spectacular fashion. But ultimately, this is really cool. I think Miro's just going to get better. We'll talk about how shortly. And Sammy, he's homegrown. He does like this feels like the right time for him to get the mid-card belt. It's all good.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the thing, you know, because when Miro was really getting hot as TNT champion, it was right around the time that Jungle Boy was challenging Kenny Omega, and I was like, Jungle Boy's got to beat Miro for the title. That's, like, perfect. And this was a moment where they did something other than what I had thought of, and I was like, still great. Still just, you know, excellent. You know, again, I wasn't thrilled with the build either. I liked what they did last week when they beat him up on the stage. I thought that was very good, but the build was fine. I thought it was fine for a mid-level, mid-card title feud. Like if Miro had beaten Sammy and moved on to a next challenger, I wouldn't have had a problem with the build. But the build now looks subpar because it was building to the big moment, right? That being said, I thought the match was excellent and kind of overshadows the build, in my opinion.
Yeah, you're right. I think that's what makes it so easy to accept, is because the match was awesome. It was all, as most of Miro's matches are. Sorry, Tempest has developed a cocaine habit, he was telling me. So you might see him mute himself, go off camera shortly, and wipe his nose a bit.
Got the drips.
So what Sammy targeted Miro's head throughout, because that is like Miro's kryptonite weakness, and Miro would just cut him off. Like there was this moment where Sammy hit a shooting star press he was going to do, but Miro, and it was clumsy, but Miro caught him and then hit, I think it was a belly to belly suplex over the top.
Awesome. It almost looked like Sammy was going to do like a shooting star flatliner.
Mm.
Like if Miro just took the front bump, it still would have been an awesome move. But I love Miro. And anybody who's seen me review AEW knows how much I love Miro. I think he's like a perfect wrestler. His matches don't need to look clean to be great, because he's that big, the same way that Walter's matches don't need to look clean to be great. He's big, he's mean, he looks like a monster. So if you have a little bit of clumsiness in this match, I don't think it detracts in the same way that if like a Young Bucks match or an Adam Cole match that's supposed to be clean and crisp, if there was issues in those matches, it would affect the quality a lot more. In this case, I don't think it does.
Yeah, totally agree. Miro is one of those guys where character and purse, like wrestler person, just completely overlap as a performance. I mean, after this, and I think I felt it already, but as a reign, this might be my favorite AEW championship reign.
Wow.
In the company's history.
It's very impressive. You know, I replied to Denise Salcedo on Twitter. She said, like, what does everyone think about Miro's reign? I said, I don't think it could have been better. It was perfect. What more could you want out of a mid-card title reign?
Yeah, completely rejuvenated him. It's what I think everyone responds so well to it about is we all knew he was this guy. And he never reached this full Rusev in WWE. And even when he came into AEW, it wasn't perfect. Like, that first gimmick with Kip Sabian was a misfire. So it's like winning the title, those awesome matches combined with him going full Miro, full God's champion, full my amazing wife at home promos. So the exciting thing here is I don't feel like Miro is just going to go for the TNT title again. I feel like this should elevate him upwards, but I don't see where he goes. Any ideas?
I have one idea, and this is purely speculation. I have no idea that they could do this. Why not have him win the casino ladder match next week? They didn't announce any of the participants, you know? And again, I completely agree, because I think the biggest problem with like a lot of the Intercontinental title reigns and the US title reigns, even if you have a really great reign, the old school title reigns with like Bret Hart and guys like that, when they lost, they would move up because their reign was so good. And now it's just like, you lose the Intercontinental title, you move down the card, you're forgotten about, whatever. If Miro loses this and immediately goes up to the main event level and challenges Kenny Omega on a big Dynamite show before Full Gear, or even have him wrestle at Full Gear, I'd love to see that match. I think that would just be such an excellent elevation, not only him, but also the TNT title, making it feel that much more important.
Yeah. Oh,
I love it.
Yeah, like a stepping stone title. But not exactly. To devalue it. I just mean like, yeah, what the Intercontinental title should
like you
be.
You should look at the TNT champion and kind of see them as like, this could be the next challenger for the world champion. At any time that they lose the title, they will move up because they're great. Because you need to be great to hold this title too.
Yeah. In terms of Sammy, though, this was only pointed out to me an hour ago. Have you seen who has put his mustache in the ring for the next challenger?
I have. I'm very excited.
So Bobby Fish released, when was that? Start of August, right? So NXT 30-day non-compete clause. Presumably he's available. He has tweeted out, I'd like to congratulate the new TNT champion, Sammy Guevara, and be the first to challenge him for that title, ready to walk through the forbidden door, AEW.
Well, it's been confirmed too.
What?
Yeah, they confirmed it on, they announced the match on Roads to the Top.
How did Bobby this Fish pass me week? By?
I don't know, it's on your website.
It's on WrestleTalk.com. Everyone should make that your homepage, people. Don't be a sucker like me. I host a wrestling news channel, and I've been caught unawares. That's the best possible surprise. Oh, that's awesome.
I love it.
Great.
I love it. You know, Bobby Fish isn't a guy that I think is necessarily a main event talent, but he's an excellent mid-card talent.
Yeah.
You know, the same way that right now I look at someone like Frankie Kazarian in AEW, where I don't think Frankie Kazarian's ever going to be AEW champion, But if he's wrestling excellent opening matches against Adam Cole, or in this case, Sammy Guevara in Bobby Fish's case, that's very exciting. I don't even know that he's going to sign. He might just do a match and pop in every once in a while, but that is an excellent addition, a possible addition to this roster.
I want to see more just one-shot, surprise, like occasional guest stars on AEW. Remember Jeff Cobb?
I was just going to say Jeff Cobb. That was so fun.
Yeah.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Well, let's see what all of you think on this title change. WrestleTalk.com/support. Get your Omega chats in. We'll answer everyone over $5 USD. Charles Berg, congrats to Sammy, but that win felt like it could have had much more weight to it. I found the build-up to be subpar. Miro was a great champion. It's just odd to see him lose the title like this. Still a fun match, though. Sorry for my evil servant suggestions, Ollie. Yeah, thank you for those. Yeah, I think that's kind of what we're both saying.
Yeah, I think the match elevates it enough that I don't mind. You know, if the match was subpar, then yeah, I would have totally agree, but it was just great. I loved it.
And it's not like another company where people just fall away afterwards. Yeah. I have faith in AEW and optimism that they've got something planned for the fallout. KML, according to my insider sources, due to the backstage heat with Miro, God has decided not to sign a contract extension with AEW. This is evident by his sudden return to WWE during the main event of Extreme Rules. What a heel.
Tremendous. Yeah. I mean, he was always a heel. He was always a heel. He left Shawn Michaels out to dry at Backlash.
This is what I was going to ask. It's the topic all the mods want me to bring up for the chat. God, babyface or heel?
God's absolutely a heel. You see the pandemic we just went through?
Bit of a tweener, because he does do a good thing now and then. He's like Big Show levels of flicking between the two roles. Oh. 69 Intangibles, Sadie Deegan. Hey, boys, not going to lie, not pumped for a Sammy title reign, but I'm so excited for Bobby Fish's fine ass to be his first challenger.
He's handsome.
Cool. Also, my favorite boy, Nick Jackson versus Bryan Danielson. Inject that into my veins. 5 out of 5 show. Love you guys. Kiss, kiss. Yeah, that's happening on Rampage.
Oh, I can't wait to see that match.
Mm.
Genuinely.
Baker, I think we're all hoping for Nakazawa, but of Nick course. Jackson's a fine substitute. Bacon Rasher. Hi, lads. Another amazing electric wrestling show. Sammy winning was the perfect end. I can't wait to see his matches as champ, and his title will look great. I would have shed a tear, but did that for Brody when Negative One came out with the papers and Dark Order One. Of course, each TNT championship is customized to the champion.
I'm quite interested to see how Sammy's belt is going to look. You know, I really came to like Miro's belt. That was really
the
cool.
Panda. Bring back the panda head. Do you remember that when that was a thing?
I sure do. He just likes pandas.
New Punk rants. When Amanda Huber and Negative One came out, I had to pause from crying. I screamed when Sammy won. AW has carried my 2021. My emotional investment is the highest since WCW 97. I wonder who was around then, New Punk rants. Maybe a Hoovy Guerrera. Escapism at its finest. The Four Pillars thing is also ultra cool. I effing love AEW. We'll talk about those pillars. That is, I like that.
It's a very nice detail. Yeah.
Jenna, you haven't, have you? Mod Mother has just said that she's put a poll live on whether God is a heel or a baby face. Oh, what have I done? It's like she's called my bluff.
Yep.
Like I was only doing this to annoy her. And now she's put it up as a thing that I wasn't prepared for.
I can't wait for the people that haven't seen this yet to see that poll. Just feel like, what in the world?
Oh, God damn it. What have we done? Keith Lloyd, great match and win for the young Spanish god. The Spanish fly was chef's kiss quality. That was surprising when Miro did that with him. Yep. Can't wait to see the Redeemer's Rampage in the coming weeks. Also, I want a Four Pillars faction in a couple of years, like the AEW version of the Four Horsemen.
Interesting. I will counter that idea that I would like these Four Pillars to be kind of treated like the All Japan Four Pillars in the 90s, where it's just like, these are the four guys, you know, and they kind of have more or less equal importance, but they're all consistently portrayed as like the big stars, and they might team with each other a little bit, but not as like a faction.
I think it's different with those characters, especially Darby and MJF. Yeah. They're not faction people.
No, I don't want to ever see Jungle Boy and MJF on a team.
Yeah. I Tempest knows more than me, so I don't get the All Japan thing. I was thinking more SmackDown 6, but there's four of them.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's a good, that's, you never heard of Mitsuhiro Misawa, Kenta Kobashi. Misawa.
Oh, I know those guys. I didn't know they were
Toshiaki Kawada.
Four pillars. Ichni, Sam. You mean the she pillars?
Moving
That's
on.
Japanese. Ohayo gozaimasu. Watashiwa arriba desu. And finally now, Tem Ruza. Guys, I love the show. It was well-paced and was not expecting Miro to lose. It was a great match and was such a huge response from the crowd. Great crowd and all fun matches. MJF, damn, you nasty. And hearing CM Punk all night was so amazing.
He's good at that commentary stuff.
Always was. Well, he's the best in this ring, on this microphone, even on commentary. Nobody can touch me. The crowd got on my nerves a bit, I'm ashamed to say. They did the watch chant.
Yeah, that's Sky, bad. Sky's Don't cadence, do that.
Sky's cadence left them open to do that. And it did mean that Ethan Page could then cut an awesome promo to shut them down. But yeah, I thought a bit annoying.
The only time they, and even still, it wasn't that bad because it's just people having different opinions. But when they were chanting, "We want Lana, no, we don't," I was like, can you just stop arguing and enjoy the match? Yeah. You know, it was like it all out when they were chanting, "We want Tessa, no, we don't." It's like, just stop. Just watch the match.
I don't want that in my AEW. We're better than that. We're better.
Yeah. I want AEW fans to be united, not arguing.
Let's get on. So WrestleTalk.com/support. Get your Omega chats in there. We'll answer every single one of them over $5 before the end of the show. Let's do the play-by-play of this packed episode. Opens on the Brody Lee tribute card. Of course, Rochester was his hometown, and he was just, people had Brody signs in the crowd. It was very nicely done. And then CM Punk comes out on to open the show. He's on commentary. And as we already said, he was very good all night. And then we had an opening match of Adam Cole and Jungle Boy. I love how Khan structures the shows now. He's really hit his stride with just big opener, big ending. What more do you need? And great promo segment in the middle.
I don't look at Adam Cole as like an opening match guy because he's obviously a big main event talent. But seeing this match and the Frankie Kazarian match from a couple weeks ago, I was like, man, if this guy opened up every show would be just amazing right off the bat.
Yeah. So but they had, Adam Cole and Jungle Boy was really, really fun, I thought. It was just solid for about 10 minutes. And then the final five, all those little bits they were setting up, all the tension they were building, boom. Literally boom. Didn't even mean to do that.
Boom.
For the final 5 minutes. Really exciting final sequence.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Jungle Boy has gotten so incredibly great in such a short time. You know, people talk about him as like the future of AEW. If they gave him the shot, I think he would succeed as like the top main event guy in the promotion right now. He's just a great, great, great wrestler. Maybe the promo isn't quite there, but he's just excellent. And he's still not at the point where he should be beating Adam Cole, in my opinion. But I saw a lot of people on Twitter just like, have him win. Give him that big step. Yeah, I thought that was a little bit strange because Adam Cole is just getting started here. But people really into Jungle Boy.
Yeah, well, he was protected, definitely. Yeah, it was. I like that it wasn't elite interference. I think I'm a bit over interference in matches. But hey. Kick a guy in the dick all day long. Aubrey Edwards was sort of pushed into the corner. Adam Cole, leg behind him. And then he managed to hit the boom for the win. Not the last shot, as Pete shouted at me for saying.
What do you think of the name The Boom?
It's good heel heat, man. He's working us. He knows what he's doing.
I think it's great. I think it's like ridiculous to the point that like it's so stupid that I like it. This finisher is just called The Boom.
Adam Cole could do anything, really. And he seems like such a nice guy who can tightrope very expertly the balance of like irony and sincerity, that it could fall into either camp.
Yeah. You know, this is going to sound like a crazy comparison, but you know how The Rock could get anything over? I think there's some level there where Adam Cole is just so good that he can get away with having a finisher called The Boom and stuff like that. It's not like, obviously he's not The Rock, but once you pass a certain threshold, you can get away with a lot more.
Maybe you're onto something. Maybe he should rename himself, like WWE so wisely pitched to him, to The Boom.
He's going to be called The Boom.
The Boom.
And it's going to be the next great wrestling boom.
He is The Boom.
He is The Boom.
Okay, so The Boom then celebrated. The Elite come down. Yeah, we're all such heels. They did a bit of comedy. Kenny Omega talks about how they had the great match last week with Danielson. Danielson comes out, says, you've got no balls. Give me a rematch. Kenny's like, no, you've got no record, which is fair. Yeah. Like, there's no reason he has to give him that
match. Like that. Maybe, I like that part a lot, that they're sticking with that. They're not making exceptions. I like it.
The baby faces run down and chase him off. So where do you think this goes from here?
I am not sure, because I still do think that it might be too early to do the Omega Bryan title match at Full Gear. And even still, I don't know how you would get there that fast, because Bryan would need to win a bunch of matches. And maybe it's just that he wrestles on every single show and wins like 10 matches in a row before Full Gear to get the title shot. But I mean, they're doing the big 10-man tag next week at the anniversary show, which should be great. But I'm not sure where you go after this.
Yeah, I don't know either. Maybe he does just like get pinfall victories over every single member of the Elite. in the next couple of weeks over the between now and Full Gear. I must say, you know, and I really enjoyed this. This is me being super nitpicky. So I'm a douchebag, I know. Danielson coming out and he did the No Balls Omega stuff. I thought it was more sports entertainment than wrestling. And I was entertained, but you know, I've kind of set my expectations up for Danielson to be, I'm super serious, I'm gonna kick your effing head in. And I didn't get that here.
It's strange because I had the same feeling. It didn't bother me necessarily, yeah, but I definitely noticed it where he came out and I still kind of felt like this was Daniel Bryan cutting a promo. Now, Daniel Bryan cuts great promos. Doesn't mean it was a bad promo, but it did feel a little bit WWE to it.
Mm, yeah. After that, we got Andrade going up to the Lucha Bros backstage saying, where's Pac? And that they should defend the titles. Brought up the AAA tag titles as well.
See, I think this is fairly smart because you wouldn't be able to have Andrade wrestle the Lucha Brothers in a tag title match for the AEW tag titles. You got rankings and all that. But I think if you just have him get a partner and wrestle for the AAA tag titles, you can still get the match. You can kind of get around the whole ranking deal because it's another set of titles.
Do you think whatever plans they had for Andrade have kind of been scuppered a bit by a certain Dark Side of the Ring episode?
Maybe. I would hate, like, yeah, maybe. I don't know. I hope not. I hope he can just kind of continue on and have a good run, because I haven't been in love with Andrade's run in AEW to this point. You know, he had the one really great match with Pac on Rampage, but even still, it had like a lame finish. And that's still the highlight of his run so far. I want the great match without the lame finish.
Yeah. The poll results are in, by the way.
Oh, dear.
God, with 74% of the vote.
Oh, it's a landslide.
As a heel.
Wow. Well, they're right.
They voted after this week. The people have spoken.
Yeah.
Apologies for the 26% of people who think God is a good guy. We don't want to offend you. All the power to you. But that's what the poll says.
More power to the people.
Matt Sydal and Dante Martin then tagged together to take on Cody Rhodes and Lee Johnson. Fun match, lots of flips, but it was more about the post-match.
Sure was.
Because Arn Anderson said he's going to shoot a guy in the face.
Yep. I like this match a lot. I think Dante Martin is like three TNT champions down the line. You know, I think he's just excellent. He is so cool. He'd be my favorite wrestler if I was like 12 right now. And it was just a great little match. It was a great three-star match where it doesn't need to go above and beyond and be the five-star main event match. But it's just like, it's a perfect middle-of-the-card tag match that everyone looks good in. And then you advance the story with Arn Anderson shooting a man in the face.
Yes. So Cody, definitely still a babyface here. He gave his weight belt to a kid at ringside. The kid was like looking at Cody as Cody gave him the belt, like, what? And then he realized what had happened. And like, yeah. So Cody's definitely a babyface. And then it's Lee Johnson who gets the win over Martin. And afterwards, Shivani's in the ring to interview the winners. And then Arn just, Cody calls out Malakai Black. And Arn's like, no, don't do that. He's been ruining our lives. Plus, you shouldn't have checked on me last week in the match. You should have just focused on beating Malakai. I've not got time for you, because if a guy came up to your car and tried to steal your car, you'd get out and say, take my car. I've got no trouble. Like, don't want any trouble. Whereas me, as Arn Anderson, I would pick up my Glock and I would shoot that mother effer in the face. And I'm sitting there like, what a weirdly specific analogy. That's the sort of analogy you use when you've just done something like that.
Does anybody know what Arn Anderson's been doing the last week?
He blocks the car, Jack.
Oh, I loved it. I love this promo. It was ridiculous, but I loved it.
Yeah. I think that's fair. Yeah, it's completely bonkers. Yeah. But I love it. But that's Cody. That's Cody segments.
Yeah. Really is. It really is. I am so interested to see where we go with all of this. Because Cody has been so adamant about not turning heel. You kind of got to do it at this point. Otherwise, he's Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
Like 5 years ago.
So Anderson and Lee Johnson, like Lee Johnson left Cody as well. So a lot of people have left the Nightmare family this year, of course, with the QT Marshall split and everything, the Gun Club.
Who's even in it at this point? It's like him and Dustin.
Come on. They had about 98 members. I'm sure there's still 70 people in it.
I don't know.
Red Velvet.
She in it?
Yeah.
I thought she was just kind of loosely associated with them.
Is there a definitive Nightmare family?
They kind of announce it every time someone signs that they're also part of the Nightmare family.
Nightmare family roster? Is that what I should say?
Oh, God. Maybe.
No, We've got it. Okay.
The entire factory left. Then the Gun Club left. That was like three people.
Do you want to try and name them?
I've got nothing besides like Cody, Brandy, and Dustin.
Yep. Lee Johnson and Arn are still listed on there, but I'm going to not count those. Yep. Brock Anderson.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, after this segment,
I presume he's out. Yeah. Fuego del Sol.
Interesting. I feel like this hasn't been updated in a while.
Baron Black, Killian King, and Red Velvet.
I had no idea that Kylan King was in that faction.
They all joined early August.
Early August? I would have guessed like February. Wow.
And then you've also got the part-time members. Do you want to try and...
Rosario Dawson.
Stephen Amell.
Ahsoka Tano.
Tommy Dreamer is still listed as part-time in...
Not anymore.
Glacier and Diamond Dallas Page, of course.
Right on. It's like three quarters of a good list.
Well, let's see where that goes. After that, we just got a sort of house show fun match with Moxley, Kingston, and Darby Allin beating Bear Country. And I haven't written his name down. What's his name? You got his name? He's a guy. He's a dark guy.
His name was like Anthony Green or something like
that. Yes. Yeah. Something like that. Yeah. Definitely Green in the last name. Yeah. And yeah, it was just a fun match.
It's quick. It was good.
Yeah.
I like something about Moxley and Kingston's presentation when Green went for the crossbody deal and they just stood there. Because they're not like huge guys. They're big, but they're not like giants in wrestling. But there's something just so genuine about them. Where that happens, and they're just like, whoa, what is this guy? Who even is this guy? I really liked it. I also felt smart in this. When Darby Allin didn't come out with his own music, I was like, he is absolutely interrupting someone later. Otherwise, he would get his own entrance.
That is good show psychology noticing. Sting hit a Scorpion Death Drop afterwards for the nostalgia pop.
Yeah.
We got a Ruby Riott and Britt Baker video. Sorry, Ruby Soho and Britt Baker video promo, implying that they're continuing with that feud.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah,
you know, like this. I think it also could be just, hey, we are going to do this again at some point. I haven't forgotten about you, Britt Baker. Because if she's gonna wrestle her at like Full Gear or something, she also has a lot of wins to rack up in order to climb the rankings. You know, you get the free one by winning the battle royal, but you don't get the rematch.
Yeah. I don't want to see it anytime soon. Yeah. I think we've had it. It's like, you know, like as we said earlier, with the optimism about Miro losing, but we know he's going to be treated well. I haven't got that same optimism with AEW in their women's division. So when they present to me, oh, our next plan after the last good thing we did is to do that again. I'm like, oh, come on. Like, Sheeda's right there. Thunder Rosa's right there. Serena Deeb's amazing. You've got people, but it, yeah. So that's it is what it is at the moment, annoyingly. Then we got the sort of Brody Lee tribute match of the Hardy Family Office versus the Dark Order and Orange Cassidy. So it's kind of furthering the Cassidy-Hardy feud over the hair. And Matt Hardy ran down Rochester at the start. He was like, I was meant to debut here last March. Thank God I didn't, because it's rubbish with rubbish people.
I quite liked Matt Hardy being like the opponent for this match. It's a nice detail that he and Brody both debuted on the same show. Like, it doesn't really matter, but it's just neat. It's an extra little detail.
But the main story of this match was that the Dark Order could not get along, and Alex Reynolds collides with Evil Uno. Uno, Grayson, and Cabana all start to walk out, but Negative One and Amanda Huber, of course, Brody Lee's widow, came out along with Ty Conte and Anna Jay. And Negative One has, like, it was already cool, but when he threw the papers at Evil Uno, that was the old Brody Lee spot. That was very, very nice.
It was just very well done. I watched this whole thing and wrestling around with with a real death is tricky, but when you do it like this, I just felt like it was very classy and everything was just done well. Made me feel good after watching it.
Yeah, definitely. And that was what Uno needed to get back in the ring. And then from there, the Dark Order just worked like this incredible well-oiled machine. Silver and Reynolds work together, like, they are bang, 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 so slick with their transitions and double teams. Evil Uno and Grayson were doing similar stuff and just running round, all did dives outside, and then they picked up the win and everyone hugged afterwards. Beautiful.
Man, the shot of little Brody, Negative One, on, I think it was 10 shoulders, as they film it from the back onto a sign that says it's Wednesday, you know what that means, with a picture of Brody. Mm. That part got me. That part got me.
Leo Rush is here, and he wants to manage your money? That's what I got from this.
Interesting. I've been really into a lot of the characters.
It was a video package. Sorry, this was a video package. He didn't interrupt the lovely Brody Lee segment. This was just afterwards.
Yeah. I've been really into the characters in AEW lately. You know, I think Miro as the Redeemer is awesome. Malachi Black's really cool. We haven't seen a lot of Andrade, but him saying, like, I am the kingpin of AEW, is like, I like that. That sounds cool. We got this one, and I was like, we'll see how this one goes.
Yeah, I was like, NXT 2.0's that way, Leo Rush, with this
guy. Oh, Lord. Don't get me started. I'm Tony D'Angelo. I got a problem down with the docks.
For the record, I like Rush. I've always respected him as well. I think, you know, all that heat and stuff because he wanted to be treated well at work is ridiculous. But he, like, I really believed him and said to people when he was retiring that, hey, lay off the guy. And now he's come back so quickly after retiring. I was a bit like, oh, God damn it.
Yeah.
I wanted him to stay retired. It's just, you know.
Yeah, it's like it's the same thing when Conor McGregor would say he's retired, like every two or three months. It's like, okay, sure you are, pal.
Yeah. Speaking of saying the same thing over and over again, FTR are now refocused.
Cool. That was the gist of the promo. I don't think there'll be a tag challenger for the tag titles soon. We got to get through Santana and Ortiz first. So maybe they just win a bunch of matches, which not opposed to seeing.
Dan Lambert's here with the Men of the Year. Just awesome Dan Lambert stuff. Said that because Jericho was taken out with the knee, he'll never wrestle again and no more Fozzy. Yay.
Almost sounded like he said Fuzzy.
Did he?
No, it sounded like it. That great band, Fuzzy.
This is when Scorpio Sky started to do his promo. And it just, like, it was a decent promo, but Lambert and Ethan Page are just otherworldly. And the crowd gave him the what treatment. So Ethan Page just then cut this promo where he did not take a breath and declared he had the tightest tits in wrestling.
Who's to argue with him?
I didn't notice it, but yeah, I guess they are pretty tight tits.
Yeah, good. I don't think that there's going to be a ton of people lining up to have measurements done to prove him wrong or right. Mm. So good for you, Ethan Page. You wear that. Put that on his Wikipedia under accomplishments.
What does tight tits mean to you? Is that the tautness of the skin over the pectorals?
Oh, the way
they're bunched
Lord.
Together in the cleavage.
The former.
Mm-hmm.
The skin is stretched tight.
Sheeta and Serena Deeb cut a promo on each other. Sheeta's looking for her, was it 50th win next week?
Yep. 50th win.
Bunny and Penelope Ford had a match against Anna Jay and Ty Conte. This was, you know, it was decent. It was another sort of Brody Lee tribute one, negative one. Ran out immediately after the win and hugged both his older sisters, which was so lovely.
It was quite lovely. I'm ready for these two teams to find other things to do, but I really like this match. You know, this feud doesn't really feel like it has a lot to it. They're just kind of wrestling, and every so often the heels will do a heel finish or hit them with brass knucks or whatever, but I don't feel like we have that real reason for why they're fighting. They just keep fighting. So now that we've gotten the clean win, let's move on.
Yeah. And then we got maybe this was the... It's hard to say, like, my favorite segment of the show because I love the opener. I love the main event. But this MJF promo was brutal. In a way, like, it even topped the Brian Pillman Jr. promo for me, where he, yeah. You know, he said his dad's in hell and his mum was addicted to drugs.
Yeah. Something about how, like, Darby Allin's family is also dead and they're not a wrestler. Like, something about Brian Pillman being a wrestler almost makes it feel a little bit more like fair game, you know? Yeah. Especially considering that Brian Pillman was such a loose cannon and would do anything to get over in the business. I feel like that makes that a little bit more okay. I wouldn't say that to someone because it's still terrible, but in the realm of MJF promos, that was more okay than saying that you should have died in the car crash that killed your uncle. That is not a kind thing to say to someone.
It's pretty mean. And every interaction I've had with MJF, he has been so nice and so complimentary of my hair. I just don't know why this everybody else sees this other side to him that I know he's a real, real sweetheart underneath.
Underneath a lot of baggage.
Mm.
Holy so smokes.
What happened here is MJF comes out for a promo and this is where he lays out the four pillars of AEW. And that's him, Sammy, who he's beat, Jungle Boy, who he's beat, and Darby Allin. And he's saying, like, those are the four pillars that will, yeah, take the company into the future because they're the young, hot talent. And he wants a shot at the AEW title because he's beat like two of them. And if he doesn't, he's got Bruce Pritchard on speed dial, teasing a jump to WWE.
What heat. What a perfect heel.
CM Punk said, everyone's got Bruce on speed dial. That's nothing to brag about.
Awesome.
And Darby comes out because, of course, he hasn't beaten Darby. Like, what a great basis for a feud as well, how this was all laid out. So much good work was done here. And MJF said, called him a number two, but, you know, Darby's familiar with being number two, like your friend Sting. Oh, that was a pretty mean line.
It's mean because it's kind of true.
Yeah.
Like, when the heel is kind of right, it just bites a little bit more.
And that it called him a school shooting mime on a skateboard. These are big, big insults. Nobody else can get away with this. Like, because I was thinking, like, if Max Caster said this in a rap, everyone's on him, cancelled again. MJF can say this week after week, and we're just like, oh, do it again. Do another one.
Oh, I love it. I love it. This is like real heel heat.
Yeah. Yeah. It's great. It's great. I just don't know. I can't figure out how he can get away with it. But he does. And I love it.
I think it's the same way that we have faith in AEW based on what they've already done. He's got such a track record of great heel work that he can kind of get away with this sort of thing now. You know, it's based on what he's already done. If you have someone new do this, you can't say that. Get kicked off the show.
Anyway, he said he respects Darby because he's straight edge. Oh, the reason he's straight edge is because when he was a kid, he got into the car with his drunken, sloppy uncle, and his uncle crashed the car, and he died. And MJF said, if you ask me, the wrong man died last night. The wrong man died that night.
Wow.
Alan had the perfect response. He just stood there and said, you can't break me mentally. And what else have you got to say? Say something else. And MJF, like, you know, and Punk did a really good job on commentary explaining this. He was like, MJF is a bully. And he's trying to bully Darby. And like, the worst thing you can do to a bully, or the best thing, is stand up to them. Sticks and stones. And MJF got really annoyed when Darby didn't rise to it. Which is a nice inversion of wrestling promos. You know, because I wanted Darby to just scream in his face back. But actually, the silence was far more powerful.
I totally agree. Yeah, I think you just nailed it. You know, everything that Punk said about just you stand up to the bully and you take away their power was great. You know, I thought the promo segment did kind of just end a little bit. You know, it didn't have, like, they didn't punch the go-home line that you would have had if Darby had fired back at him. But overall, I think the storytelling here is just fantastic.
Yeah. And I guess maybe because MJF has a Wardlow, Darby and Sting versus MJF and Wardlow in this feud? Not the end point. I think the singles match is the end point, but get there via
tag. Yeah, that sounds fun. Sounds fun. I'm here for it.
And yeah, that's the show overall. What would you give the show? I gave it 4 out of 5 because I thought it was a terrific show, but a 5 out of 5 AEW show is very high.
See, that's the problem. I feel like the 5 out of 5 AEW show is kind of like now reserved for a grand slam or an all out level event. I almost think that's a little unfair because this was such a fabulous episode of Dynamite. I don't think I had one nitpick, one flaw. And on that basis alone, I have to give it a 5 out of 5.
5 out of 5. I don't think, sorry, the things keep slipping through the cracks. I do not have a score. But we could do it out of 4, couldn't we, Jenna? If we get a, like she's here. Mod Mother, could we get a poll up for a rating? A lot of people are saying in the chat, 4.7 out of 5 for me, said CM Chris. By that point, it's a 5. Let's get on with the rest of your Omega chats for now. WrestleTalk.com/support. Get them all in there. We'll read out every single one of them over $5 before the end of the show. Anthony Velasquez. Really good show from top to bottom. But did Arn just say Cody has no balls in the nicest way he can? The nicest way? He said he'd murder someone.
Yeah. That's not very nice.
Trent Hill. It wasn't until last night that I realized that John Wick was actually a documentary piece on the life of Arn Anderson. He basically called Cody a something in front of millions of people. I don't know what that
5 letters. Could be bitch. Could be a female anatomical term that starts with a P.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Grim shot. Vince, we need to be darker and more edgy to beat AEW. Tell them to use words like bitch and kill. That'll get them. Arn, hold my beer. Hold my AK-47.
Hold my Glock.
James Hanley, as an American who would give his car to a carjacker, I found Arne's promo to be both hilarious and insane. As a Brit and Canadian, you probably think that Americans are given a pistol after their birth certificates are signed, but it's only mostly true.
Depends on some states.
Doesn't it come with some cars?
Probably. I remember watching whatever the... I can't remember what his name. It was like Bowling for Columbine or something. The documentary about school shootings and stuff, where you could like go and open a bank account in a certain state and be given a gun as like, oh, here's your incentive to open a bank account. There you go.
Crazy. Alpaca Nation 87. When Arn cut that promo, all I could think was Will Ferrell and Anchorman. Arn killed a guy? Man, things really got out of hand fast. Paul Egan, another awesome and fun show with next week looking stacked. So basically, Arn called Cody a thing, yes. I can't wait to see the debut of Brock's twin brother, Gwok Anderson. Also, Punk's Lloyds of London, and What a Maneuver references were hilarious. The What a Maneuver was on Jungle Boy's Hurricane Rana on Adam Cole to the Outside. I missed the Lloyds of London one.
We only talked about it in every segment.
Did he?
Yeah, he talked about it at the start of the show. He's like, oh, I took out a Lloyds of London insurance policy if anything happens to me tonight. He said it like four more times. They started chanting for him, he would say.
Oh. Just in case that Lloyds of London was the insurer, the UK-based insurer that insured lots of wrestlers back in the day, Bret Hart included. Yeah, they don't do them anymore because it cost them a lot of money.
Yep.
This profile isn't real, though. There have been better matches and better cards, but never a more complete episode. Pacing, promos, commentating, matches, Brody chants. Loved every second. P.S. Ethan Page does not need a mouthpiece.
Saw a lot of people talking about how Dan Lambert is kind of not needed here with these two guys. I kind of agree, you know? Ethan Page can cut a promo with the best of them.
It's like... Are they greater than the sum of the parts? Or they're not less than, but I think they're like, no, they're just the sum of the parts. Which is not what you should be looking for in a faction. You want to augment. But hey, a lot of people said that about Paul Heyman and CM Punk. And that was a great pairing. Ursi18 or Urkray18. Double dose of misogynistic segments tonight. We've got Lambert's. There are no real men in the audience, and Brian's having courage equals having testicles really turned me off an otherwise good show. And I guess Arn just confirmed Taker's real men carry guns.
Didn't think of that.
Yeah, I get, but there's, I wouldn't say those are misogynistic. I would just say those are, you know, those are sort of cultural touch points, testicles, balls. It was in a segment with all guys. I wouldn't, and the Arm one, yeah, I do disagree with the sentiment of the Arm. But if you detach it as just a character saying a thing, I don't see any problem in it personally.
Yeah, if it's just me, I didn't have a problem with any of these three things, really.
Lakshma, Narashima, Lakshmi, Nara Simhan B. I enjoyed the show as usual, but as the weeks go, I really don't know how to feel about MJF's heat-drawing promos. I didn't like it when Paul Bearer's death was used in Taker versus Punk, so this also makes me a bit queasy. At least he didn't say much about Brody, especially with Negative One and Mrs. Huber there. And with the Owen Hart Cup in the horizon, he should keep the word Hart far from promos. Mrs. Hart trusting AEW is already a big deal. No need to wreck it for cheap heat.
Interesting.
So that's two comments there, interestingly enough, about AEW potentially crossing the line, which is, you know, for a company that's so sensitive and accommodating to, you know, being inclusive and everything and not triggering people. Yeah, I don't see that because I get a kick out of what MJF's saying, as we just covered. Just because of the nature of the company, I assume, and I think I'm right in saying, that everyone has signed off on that backstage. Like, MJF is not saying that unless Darby has said, use it, please. I'm totally fine with it. Same with Brian Pillman Jr. and the Pillman family.
Yeah, I think so. I don't, again, this company, by all accounts, seems to be fairly tight-knit and inclusive in making sure everyone's okay with things. You know, the Brody Lee thing has really shined a light on how everyone is treated backstage, at least in my opinion. So I completely echo your sentiments that I don't think this would get through if anyone involved had a problem with it.
Austin Falco, the in-ring action last night felt top-notch even by AEW's normally high standards. Hoping that carries over to the casino ladder match next week because the last one felt a little disjointed, but love the concept. Hangman return as the final entrant.
That's an interesting idea.
Yeah. Well, I guess the other thing we didn't talk about, I'd like Paige as the final person, but a lot of reports said The Fiend or Bray Wyatt in some sort of version would turn up on this week's show. And I always, like, to those reports, I always thought, but his 90-day non-compete wouldn't expire until the 28th or whatever it is of October. So I never understood those reports, but they were everywhere.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't have any more insight into that either. I have no real, I haven't heard anything about the Bray Wyatt stuff besides that. And I just kind of dismissed it for the reasons you just gave, you know? Otherwise, I haven't heard anything about plans or whatever.
Maybe he's in the ladder match. Bray Wyatt doesn't really scream ladder match to me, though.
Nah.
Alpaca Nation 87, being there live and going from cult of personality right into all about that boom for the boom, the wrestler, the boom. Pure sensory overload. Dante Martin on TV does no justice for the air he gets in person. Also, Nick Jackson versus Danielson, chef kisses, Brody kisses all night long. So, of course, Alpaca Nation was there. They would have already seen Rampage, which means they've seen Jackson versus Danielson.
Well, I don't think it's a spoiler that it was great. I will say that. Two very quick points about this. I forgot to mention it during the beginning of the show. Having this show start with Cult of Personality, It's All About the Boom, and then Tarzan Boy. I was like, this show has such good music, and I love it.
Yeah. I'm going to pick up the pace a little bit on these because we've got, as usual, quite a few. New Punk Rants. For me, with AEW, it's the little things. I'm invested in every show, most characters to some degree, and just appreciate things like Sting being there, all that nostalgia. Like, I feel like we are taking it for granted as a whole fandom. Hashtag stay juicy. Lakshma Nara Simhan B. Another chance for me to butcher your name. There are a few bones to pick. One, no promo after commercial while a wrestler is waiting in the ring. How dare they miss that? Two, no recaps of the opening segment throughout up to the main event. Madness! And number three, no championship contenders match. The nerve.
Preposterous. Inconceivable.
They're only 2 years old. They're still learning. Bacon Rasher, hi again, lads. The mic was pure fire last night. MJF, OMG. Ethan Page, OMG. Arn Anderson, OM friggin' G. Wardlow will break Sting. Fear the buckle bomb. Oh, God. Page needs a push now, and Arn will push Cody to crack. Then Brandy gets the heel turn she wants. LIW for life. Yeah. Voxolo. This was one of the first episodes of Dynamite I got to watch with my lady friend who isn't into the wrestling at all. And oh my God, did she get into Dante? He's really got the star-making potential to catch the eye of new viewers. Great match and great show.
He's very much like Rey Mysterio.
Hmm.
That's my analysis of Dante Martin.
Tem Ruzza. Bat guys, just wanted to add how good the Boom's theme is. The Boom. Number one, baby. Loved having the Boom, Brian, Omega, and Punk out at the same time. Chills. God, what a freaking roster. Really keen for the run of shows till the end of the year for AEW. Please check out the G1. Give me Zack Sabre Jr. versus Brian.
Yes. Absolutely. 1,000 times yes. We'll get it at some point. We have to.
Yeah. Kevin May, been having a think. What if Hangman comes back and wins the casino ladder match, ends up beating Kenny for the belt, then Kenny and Danielson can have a long program? Personally, I don't think Kenny or Brian need a belt involved. Thoughts?
I don't hate it. I do think that they can have a feud about who is better. Because it kind of muddles up the Hangman Page story, like the timeline of it. I'm sure they can figure out a way to do both, But that is a solution that I do not have a problem with.
I also think Kenny beating Danielson conclusively first makes that Hangman Page beating Omega feel even greater. Like, that's only going to put Page over more. Dana Holland. I loved Bryan Danielson's No Balls promo. He was playing mind games with Kenny. He was attacking Kenny's ego and pride.
It's very good. They've been saying he's insecure the whole time. Details.
Some stupid punk. I'd just like to say how excited I got when Darby said he was AEW until death. Then I got worried because that may not be as far as we'd like. Then later I realized MJF is going to murder Papa Sting to break Darby. Hashtag Wardlow breaking Sting's back like Bane.
Oh, God. I have that comic book cover on my floor over there.
There's a lot of possibilities there. I'm excited. Dustin G. Can't watch the whole show live because I'm driving home from Rochester in a bit. Crowd was unglued this whole show. Most fun I've had in a while. Yeah. James Hanley. Conti and Jay had matching ring gear and their own entrance music. Bunny and Ford came out with matching ring gear. If AEW is hinting at a women's tag division, then I'm 100% behind it. Give the women more TV time and maybe bring in some outside inspiration.
Perhaps.
I think get the singles stuff right first for me. Will Campbell. Hey, guys. Last night's episode was awesome. Sammy's Spanish fly counter was absolutely insane, and I cheered after he pinned Miro. Also, I will admit, I did tear up when Negative One and Amanda Huber threw the papers at the Leaving Dark Order members. Jam that jam. The Mikey Chaos. I'm going to wear my tinfoil hat for a moment. I think there was something more to Kenny saying this wasn't part of the deal when Brian didn't come out alone. Sounds to me like they were planting seeds of backstage dealings going on between Bryan Danielson and the Elite.
I missed that, I'll be honest. But these kind of small details, if that's what happened, which I don't believe that you'd lie to me, Will, or Mikey. Maybe, I don't know. Devil's in the details here.
I don't think Danielson would side with the Elite, but then would he?
Maybe.
Then why would he debut and beat them up? I think that's too Tim for you. It doesn't make sense. Alpaca 87. I never knew how much my mind was ready for Allen versus MJF story until this promo. Not sure if it was shown on TV, but as MJF was exiting, Punk was flipping him off and MJF started mouthing off to him.
I did see that. That it's fun. I want to see that one.
Nate S. I liked the hesitant crowd response when Darby told MJF, just nobody wants you here. We do. Like, yeah, we hate the guy, but actually don't leave. Love the show. Teared up again with the Brody stuff. Wish Evil Uno would have sold the papers like he used to.
I mean, yeah. You can do that on being the Elite in a wrestling match.
Braden Senpai. Don't forget the insane no DQ triple threat of Thunder Rosa, Nyla Rose, and Jade Cargill announced tonight for Friday's Rampage. It better main event as well. That is a big step in the women's division if they do something there.
Yeah. I think it will be an event. Brian and Nick Jackson feels like the opening match based on Rampage's track record.
RC18. Men not understanding misogyny? What a shocker. It's part of our cultural touchstone is not an excuse. I disagree that. I mean, everyone's got what... Misogyny to me is directly against... this is a terrible thing to wage into without really well thinking out your thoughts. I didn't find it offensive.
I don't think saying you're not real men is anything but wrestling banter. Mm. I don't think that should be taken so seriously.
Lakshmi Narish Simhan B. Third time's a charm. I know that MJF is a great heel. I'm just worried about where the line is drawn. Maybe that's just me being paranoid because I've seen WWE for so long. I know that these things would mean nothing here, as seen with the Paul Bearer and Ric Flair stuff. I think that's a good point because we've seen another company treat stuff like this so insensitively in the past that, you know, we've got our guard up when we see it elsewhere. But to me, AEW have treated it very well so far.
I also think MJF as a performer is very smart, and I think he probably has an idea of where the line is.
Yeah, you've got to cross the line to find it as well sometimes.
Yeah.
Home Alone. I was there last night and it was amazing. I really hope all of our Brody chants came through because it was nonstop and electric. There's that word again. I love this company and it was such a great night. Danielson is so amazing and I snuck into an empty seat for his match. Oh, cool. New Punk Rants. I get people being triggered by certain things, but unfortunately, Edge sells. He didn't really remove many ratings from what I saw.
Sure.
It's all about your suspension of disbelief. They do a lot of community work. Also, I'm intrigued by Cole following Punk 2 weeks in a row. Punk versus Cole at Full Gear, please.
Yes, please.
Sylvan Uchiha. I need Eddie Kingston with a DMX theme song. DMX is from New York and a legend and would fit perfect with Eddie's gimmick.
Didn't DMX die? Am I wrong about that? I'm pretty sure that was news. I mean, maybe you could get an existing song at that point, but you're not getting a new one, I don't think.
Kenzine says, Justin Roberts, new cool. Adam, the Boom Cole, baby. No, just the Boom.
He's just the Boom.
And we've got poll results. 4 out of 4, 79%. 3 out of 4, 17%. 1% for 2 and 1 out of 4 each.
People pretty like this show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to get this. Laxmi Narasimhan B. Hey, at least Arnon Goldberg just said the word. To be fair, had someone tried to jack Haku's car, though, no arms required.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, yes, DMX has passed away. Mr. Gajilli. Hey, chaps, when's the prediction for the draft happening? Winner faces Pete for the championship. Most correct drafts win or most accurate rosters. We're not doing it that way. It's tomorrow. I'm going to be hosting as Pete's, you know, sort of I'm the silver surfer now of Chopper Pete. And Adam Blompier will be taking on Denise Salcedo in a fantasy draft. So they're both going to try and pick the best rosters. They can't choose what the other person's chosen. And the viewers tomorrow will vote on who's the winner. The winner will face Pete at Crown Jewel.
Who doesn't love a draft? A fantasy draft.
Noah Fortner. Hey, lads, I'm getting my first dog today and he still doesn't have a name. Which one is the best or do you have any suggestions? The Macho Mutt, Randy Savage, Hang Mutt Adam Page, or Rowdy Roddy Pooper? Rowdy Roddy Pupper.
How about Bark Henry?
Bark Henry's good. I like the Macho Mutt out of those. Randy. It'd just be Randy, though. You'd shorten it down pretty fast. Vash TS 1984. You have to see Nyla's Twitter. She's been running with the arm promo and it's hilarious. Nyla's Twitter's very fun. Sometimes.
She's good.
Bacon Rasher, final one from me, lads. I cannot believe Tempest has managed to get his hands on the new Pure White. Never been done before, Brian Danielson T. How did you get one? Also, I think Ethan Page would get cheered without Lambert there. LIW for life. Yes, you're wearing Brian Danielson's new teeth. Oh, no.
You're in my t-shirt, damn it. We're still selling these. Go to wrestleshop.com, get an LIW shirt. Hell yeah. Buy the shirt.
Sylvan Uchiha. Did I say it right that time? Uchiha.
Uchiha.
Yes, DMX did die. Yes, DMX did die, and I thought of an existing song. It would be a cool tribute. Well, Tony Khan can spend those bucks. And thank you to our new member, Christopher Hamilton Sr.
Woo.
Thanks for joining. But we have one more Omega chat from one Luke Owen. D-A-D, from paternity leave at home, watching along, I guess. I enjoyed this week's Dynamite a lot and cried a bunch for the Dark Order, but not as much as little Isabel cried during the main event finish of Extreme Rules. That's not a joke. That's obviously Luke's daughter, newborn. That's not a joke, by the way. She was so quiet during the match, then burst into tears the second the red light came on. Miss you guys, miss all the SWAF nation, but I'm head over heels for this little one, so I don't miss you that much. Kiss. Also, LOL on Anderson's promo.
Aw. We miss you, Luke. We sure do.
Yeah. Cool. Well, that's all we've got time for today. Oh, thank you very much.
Cool. Incorrect. I realized we'd done something out of order. We have podcast shout-outs. Oh, the Pledgehammers must be shouted out.
There's no podcast shout-outs today.
Is there not? Why not? What day is it?
We've done them all. It's like the last day of the month.
All right, never mind. Disregard me. I'm getting kicked off this podcast.
This isn't my first podcast, Tempest.
Yeah, well, we didn't play the Jam That Jam intro either, because you don't know which one that is.
No, I'm pressing the wrong buttons. And thank you very much for joining us all here today and for all your very generous Omega chats. Remember to subscribe to the WrestleTalk podcast channel here. Enable notifications to always on, because we will have the Fantasy Draft. Dun, 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 dun. Tomorrow with Adam Blompier versus Denise Salcedo. Subscribe. Jam That Jam.
Go on. So,
watching any Star Trek? Watching any Star Trek lately?
Not lately. No? I feel like we had this conversation last week.
I know, yeah. I thought, yeah, well, exactly. You've had a whole week to watch some Star Trek.
Where did this come from?
We were sponsored by Star Trek, a Star Trek video game for apps. Fleet Commander. Please go and get it and download it. And that was the last thing I recorded before I got really ill and I had to stay in bed for 4 days. And I was like, hey, I'll go and finish Star Trek Discovery. Never finished it. Went and watched it. Realized, oh my God, this is terrible. This is the worst show. I hate it. Let me see if I was correct in my memory about how much I enjoyed Next Gen. Went back, loved it. Haven't stopped watching it. Started to listen to some Star Trek books as well about the history and the backstage stuff. And then went back and started watching the original series movies. Well, William Shatner's an amazing actor. But the Star Trek behind the scenes chat, which is what this oral history audiobook I'm listening to. It's like, I think when there's any sort of geeky fan base that's super into something, there comes a point when you can't get any more from the content itself. So you have to start looking at the credits and going, huh, that writer and that writer. And then you follow them around on podcasts or conventions and you go, so was there any backstage fights?
It's just like
what was
wrestling.
The heat like? Yeah, yeah, totally. And I found out that 7 of 9 and Captain Jane hated each other on Voyager.
Wow. Well, I'm glad that... See, I knew about the beginning of this, like the sponsorship and everything. Mm. I did not know that you'd spend your entire time ill just watching Star Trek.
Oh, yeah.
It makes a lot more sense to me, you know? Yeah, Star Trek's great.
Luke isn't around, so I can't just talk to him about it. He knows the author of that audiobook, I think. So yeah, I'm just starting every podcast now with what's trekking? What's trekking, man?
Well, question for you then, in that case. Have you ever read the book Red Shirts?
No.
Ooh. I think you'd probably like it then. It's a book about the Star Trek folk who wear red shirts. You know, like the old jokes, like if you bring someone along with a red shirt on, they're the one who's gonna die on the mission, right? The book is like a satire of Star Trek where those people become self-aware that like, hey, wait a minute. I just got it for my dad for, I believe, Father's Day this year. And yeah, I've had it like recommended by like a few people, you know, if you like Star Trek and stuff like that, it's just a little fun book.
Well, I am off on holiday as of Saturday, maybe chilling by the pool in Majorca. I can flick through it. So my Majorca holiday has come about very last minute. It's sort of just like, hey, we can get away. And just coincidentally, so I'm going away with my girlfriend's family there. Coincidentally, my long lost uncle lives there And my parents, who have only met him once, you know, we only found this out a couple of months ago, are going to visit him in Majorca. It's Majorca. At the same time. So they left yesterday and we're all going to go for lunch in another country on Monday.
Well, that's exciting. Have you been able to see them a lot during the pandemic?
No. Well, we didn't know they existed.
And then parents.
Oh, my parents. A few times, not as much as usual. To be honest, it's given me an excuse to avoid them. They're a bit clingy.
Yeah, I feel you.
My mum likes everything I do on Facebook and Instagram.
Oh, dear. And she doesn't post on Facebook.
Well, I don't use social media that much at all, but what she does to get her fix is she goes to the WrestleTalk fan pages and sometimes defends me if someone says something critical.
I love that.
It is very nice.
Yeah. I don't know if you're familiar at all, but there's a YouTube production company called Rooster Teeth. They're actually working with AEW, funny enough. They have a podcast with Scorpio Sky. And they did Darby Allin's Titantron video.
Yes, yes.
So that company, there are like a couple of parents of the presenters in that company who are like, "Hi, I'm Miles's mom. I love my son. I love all of his content." I just love that kind of stuff. I just think it's so wholesome.
Yeah, maybe one day we'll do like a Wrestle Parents and just get all of the parents to do like a sort of Wrestle Talk After Dark kind of thing. Get them to have a couple of glasses of, I don't know, what do boomers drink? Chardonnay. And they'll watch some very violent wrestling that we'll curate for them. And they can talk about how disgusting this is. How, you know, because like Luke's parents would ban him from watching wrestling as a kid.
I was about to say, like, do we know if anyone's parents of the cast would watch wrestling and be like, hell yeah, wrestling.
Mm. Well, what about your folks? Because it's not in the UK, obviously it was on World of Sport, but that kind of phased out very heavily in the 80s. So the parents sort of used to watch it, not really that intensively, as a joke for kids Saturday afternoons. What about Canadian parents?
It depends on the era that they're from, I guess. You know, like my dad is fairly older, you know, so he remembers like Maple Leaf wrestling at Maple Leaf Gardens, you know, where you'd have the Sheik come in, like old school, like, you know, 70s and earlier. But basically everything after that was not really that important here. I would say, obviously they all knew like Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant and stuff like that. But the only exposure that my dad has had to wrestling since then was taking me to see pay-per-views as a kid. So we would go up to the cinema here because they would air the pay-per-views there. We would do that like every month for a while and just watch all the pay-per-views together on the movie theater screen.
That's quite a unique way to sort of have a wrestling upbringing almost, because just, pay-per-views in cinemas are a thing, but I think they're like such a tiny fraction of the viewership share. It's like, oh, I only watch movies on aeroplanes. It's a really tiny niche.
Yeah. It was a fun experience though. You kind of still got that like crowd atmosphere a little bit. Because people would be, some of them, you know, the popular pay-per-views, you know, it would, the Royal Rumbles would sell out. The first WrestleMania I ever saw, WrestleMania 24, was at the movie theater, and it was sold out. There was a line all the way down the hall for people getting into WrestleMania and stuff like that. So yeah, it was fun. It was definitely unique, but it was a good time.
Well, that's all we've got time for today. We've got an AEW show to record, but... We'll see you next week. Jam that jam, folks.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news.
Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.